confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
All right, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's Madhouse number 212, man. Talking 4 years every Wednesday night. And tonight, we have a show that is definitely going to be up there with some of the greats. And before we get too deep in this, let me get my co-host in here.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. She's first your monkey ass.
Hey, Mr. Lapaki, how are you tonight, sir?
Dude, I'm great, brother. Doing good, man. It's just the weather has just been so amazing this summer. I can't say enough about how nice it is when it's in the 90s. And I feel like, you know, there's actually, like, energy running through my body unlike the other, like, 8 months of the year when it's just, like, depression and rain and gray everywhere. And you're like, ugh. But the summertime, man, that's where you could live life, man.
Amen. I know on my side of the mountains, it's been just spectacular. I think today was running right around 85. It was like the perfect weather, man. The bar was just rocking all day. Man, I'm about had enough of that place. So.
Oh, yeah, dude. Have you gone and done any hiking with the kids or taken them out to the river this year or anything?
I have not got a chance. I'm trying to get out to the river this weekend, but once again, it's a busy weekend for MMA. So I was going to try to do it next weekend, and it's just as busy. So I'm thinking about just taking like the middle of the week and just, you know, telling, you know, the boss, hey, man, I'll be back in a couple of days. Just cut out. I mean, I got to get some time with the kids. I mean, you know where I live. I live like near 10 lakes and 20 rivers in like a half hour drive. I mean, I should be out there enjoying it. But, you know, sometimes you got to pay those bills. But I tell you what, we're going to talk to two gentlemen who are going to be paying some bills off of stepping in the cage. One, Marcos Bonilla, he's throwing down at the same event as Amanda Bell at Chaos in the Casino 5. My boy Jonathan King will be rocking the mic from the Clinch Report. Then we're going to have Bristol, man. You guys, I mean, dude. The guy to me is just, this is a great interview. I mean, I can't wait. Obviously he's fighting up here, coming up on the 22nd at Titan 29, but we're going to talk about that. But I definitely want to talk to him about some of the, you know, his previous fights in his career. I mean, the guy, I mean, has fought obviously some great fights, but he fought at a great time in MMA. Lapaki, you might correct me if I'm wrong, but right around 2005 IFL era, I definitely want to talk to him about that, because to me that was one of the coolest eras in my generation of mixed martial arts. That when it came to, you know, the States in the beginning, you know, that MMA league was fantastic to watch.
Dude, it was a blast. I liked how it was like teams. It was like, these guys are going to go in and fight these guys. Like, who was the gorilla? The Silverbacks? There was the Silverbacks, and Portland was the Wolf Pack or something?
Oh, man, see, you got me thinking about other guys now. I was thinking about the Seattle Shark Attack, right?
I think it was just the Seattle Sharks.
I thought they had more to the name. I thought it was like the... Wasn't it the Tiger Sharks? Or yeah, it was the Tiger Sharks.
Yeah, I'm
going
to find
that's
out.
What it
I'm
was.
Going to Wikipedia.
Okay,
everybody
go to Wikipedia.
Relax. Wikipedia is now in the house. So you
but,
have the Quad City Silverbacks, the L.A. Anacondas. There was the New York Pit Bulls, the Portland Wolf Pack. I did have that one right. The Southern California Condors, the Lion's Den, the Chicago Red Bears. I don't even see the Seattle team. Team Bomb Squad, Team Prodigy. Oh, San Jose Razor Claws. Oh, yeah, no, Seattle Tiger Sharks. Tucson Scorpions, Tokyo Sabres, Toronto Dragons.
The Tokyo Sabres. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude, he's seen some great, great times in MMA, you know. And once again, you know, I'm curious to find out this whole Titan deal. Are we going to get to see him maybe call that home for a couple years and has a long-term deal? Because, you know, me and you watched, Super Brawl Sunday 1 that he won the vacant title at up there in Snoqualmie against Ian Williams. That was just like, what, 3 months ago?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
May? If I remember it.
No, it was in April.
See, I don't remember right.
Yeah. Well, and we also, guys, this kid, Marcos, great talent. He's making his debut at the pro division. He's an exciting young kid coming up. He's training with great people. I can't wait to have him on, let you guys meet him. I've been blessed to actually meet this kid a couple of times. He's a beast coming up, man, and he's got a tough test. They're giving him somebody who I consider kind of a gritty veteran, even though the guy's record might not be, you know, perfect. The guy's definitely been in some fights.
Yeah, Chaos at the Casino is going to be a fun little card, man.
Oh, dude.
I really hope Amanda Bell can go down there. And why do they have this fight showing us 3 3-minute rounds? That's a pro fight. What the hell is going on here?
I think all...
Amanda Bell and Marina Shafir?
Yeah. And then Hadley Griffith.
They're
we
all
talked
3-minute
about that.
Fight?
Yep.
Well, why is Tony Lopez and Chase Cormley 3 5-minute rounds? Only the main event or something? That's... What?
No.
That's weird, dude. That's weird, bro.
I don't know if that's right. That, you know, that sounds odd that only one fight would be, you know,
this
correct.
The Marcus's fight showing up as 3x3. Amanda Bell's fight showing up as 3x3. Those
well,
are two
hey,
pro fights.
We can call Marcos right now and find
let's
out.
Let's just get him on the dang line. Let's just get him on the line and let's put his feet to the fire.
Let's do it. You're going to like this kid, man. He's a great interview.
Oh, yeah.
Very...
What do you say about everybody? Now I'm going to make sure I don't like
him. Hello?
Marcos.
What's up, Skippy?
Hey, how you doing, brother? Welcome to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lapaki and Skippy.
Thank you guys for having me.
Are you at the gym?
Anytime, man. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to join us, man. It's a busy weekend, fight weekend on. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hey, for the
yeah,
the fans...
quick question though. I was just looking at the fight card, man. Are you doing 3 5-minute rounds or 3 3-minute rounds?
This fight is going to be 3 3-minute rounds.
Okay.
Interesting.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a pro fight?
Yeah, this is a pro fight. I guess the commission, depending on what the, since it's my pro debut, they do three-minute rounds as opposed to five-minute rounds. I guess once I get a couple more fights under my pro record, then they'll go ahead with 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. So they're kind of looking at the pro fights as kind of like as an A-class, B-class kind of a situation, it sounds like.
I guess, man. I mean, I'm sure it's a liability thing. So give me 1 second. Eric, can you tell them to turn that shit down? Sorry, guys. I'm at the gym, and they got that James Brown going out pretty loud. Everybody's in the mode right now.
Well, hey, Marcos, for all the fans around the world, because, you know, I know you really well, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing and hanging out and talking to you. Why don't you introduce yourself to the fans all over the world? Tell them where you're training out of and a little bio about yourself.
All right. My name is Marcos El Matador Bonilla, also go by Murder Marks. I train out of Defiant Gym in Burbank, California. Been fighting for a few years now. I was fighting under the Camo banner down in California, which is the amateur program out here. Finished my amateur career in March with a Sparstar 145-pound title, and now making the move to the pros and making my debut with Lights Out Promotions at Hollywood Park Casino this weekend.
Now, I know you, so I'd like to get the fans to know you as well. It's fight camp. You know, talk to us a little bit about it. How does this fight camp differ from your amateur, even the amateur title fight, you know, at Sparstar to a pro? Is there anything different for you?
You know what? Not really, man. I mean, it's pretty much the same. I mean, I guess we firmly believe in that. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. We've been pretty successful with the way we've carried our camps. You know, even in the few losses that I had in the amateurs, I still consider it a success. You know, the learning experience. But yeah, I mean, nothing too different. Just you know, knowing that there's a little bit more of a different game now. Now, you know, I can throw knees to the head and elbows, which I've been very anxious for a long time. So I'm excited about that. But that's the only difference. I mean, aside from that, you know, just kind of making certain plans for the opponent, considering he's a wrestler.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the striking ability that differs from the Camel rules as an amateur now that you're pro.
Mm-hmm.
Elbows, how important do you think they're going to be to your game? Because I know that you like to get in there and get dirty with people, and you're not afraid to mix it up.
Yeah, man, it's going to be huge. I think, I mean, he's going to be able to elbow and knee me back as well. I like to think that because I come from more of a striking, you know, based fighting style, it's definitely going to work to my advantage. Guys like Matt Brown, love, you know, the way they handle in the clinch or when they've got the guy against the cage. I mean, it's elbows all day, and it's something that I've been very eager to use. So I think it's gonna add to my game.
Ah,
oh yeah,
it is, dude.
The elbows, man. It's like it's always fun. I love watching pro debut fights when the guys like when it like clicks in the middle of the fight and they can start throwing knees and elbows to the head. And then it's
just
kind of like all of a sudden it's just like pow, and then it's just nonstop. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give away too much, you know. But if the opportunity is there, if the opportunity arises to hit this guy with a few elbows or knees, then I'll definitely take them. But it's not something that I'm going in there looking for, you know. If the opportunity arises, then I will take advantage of it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, your gym's in Burbank. When you think about Burbank, you don't really think about fight gyms. What's the mentality kind of like around there?
Well, the gyms out here in Burbank, we got a lot of guys. Well, Burbank is on the outskirts of the San Fernando Valley. For anyone that's familiar with LA, we're just north of like downtown LA and Hollywood and all that. So we're not too far from LA. I think when people think Burbank, they think like the studios, the movie studios. You know, we got Warner Brothers down here and like Disney and all that stuff. But we got guys coming up from the hood to come train up here. I mean, our gym's gritty. you've ever been in, if anybody, you know, anybody that's been at Defiant Gym, we're a small, grimy ass gym. We're not one of those. We don't have kids classes. We don't have women's cardio kickboxing. It's a fighter's gym to the fullest. I mean, don't get me wrong. We have kids that come in here, and we have you know, we do have our women, you know, that come in here and train as well. But we're a fighter's gym, 100%. So regardless of the location, I mean, we're making noise. I mean, look up our amateurs, our camel fighters, and you know, a couple of our, well, we have a few other pro guys that were raised here at Defiant, you know, like myself. We're making noise, we're making waves. We've got, you know, we've got amateurs that are ranked in the top 10 of their divisions in the state. So regardless of it being in Burbank or not, we're a fighter's gym.
No, I like it. I love how you use the word grimy to describe it. Now I'm like super stoked. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, this place has got to be dope.
Can you think old school, like, I mean, if you look at old school videos of like Mike Tyson training in a hole in the wall with a ring and a bunch of like old school fight posts, that's what the gym is.
Hey, Marcos, if you moved from wherever you were about a minute ago, you're starting to break up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Let me go outside. Let me see if can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good now.
Okay, cool.
Now, I'm curious, you know, we like to, you know, talk to you guys about, you know, the whole camp weight cutting. Is 145 a good cut for you, or will we see you maybe move to 135 down the road?
No, man, I don't see 135 happening, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I could be, I think, you and I have spoke about this before, and I don't think it's smart. Well, not that it's not smart, but I don't think it's healthy. I walk around at like 100 and anywhere between 165 and 170. So down to 35, that's, I'm sure I could make it with a super diet, but I just don't see it happening. I just think I could perform at you know, at like my awesome.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose him?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Sure, what's
oh, okay, I can hear
yeah.
you now,
Hello?
Marcos. Okay, we can hear you now. Finish.
All right, what
that?
Was the last thing you heard me say?
Making the cut to 135 you felt wouldn't be beneficial for you like 145.
No, even, you know, it's too much, man. We already put our bodies through so much. Going down to 135, I don't think it's healthy long-term, you know. I think it's something that I could see affect my body in my later years.
Dude, I really like how you're cognizant of that, and you know that, hey, you know, this may not be, you know, I may not get the best performance out of this cut. I wish a lot of other guys would kind of take that moment to just kind of think about that. Before they just decide, oh, man, that's it. I had a couple, you know, I think I can go down and have even more of an advantage. I'm glad you kind of look at that and process it and we're like, you know, that might work for other guys, but for me, that's not the right plan.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, you know, this as much as there's a lot of guys out there, I love fighting. It's something that I don't do it for the money. Obviously, there's not big money in it when you're starting. I mean, I have a regular job. I do well for myself. But this is something that's not – it's not forever. It's temporary, you know. The body ages, and you gotta think about, you know, your overall health and you know, what kind of effects what we're doing today is going to have on you, you know, 15, 20 years down the line.
See, exactly. This is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you onto this show because, you know, Lepaki addresses this a lot with a lot of guests on the different shows. He either hosts or co-hosts. And
yeah.
This is something that we feel a lot of young amateurs don't understand. They believe you cut as much possible weight as you so that you could be the biggest guy in the smallest weight class. And that's not always the best way to approach things.
Right. I agree.
Now, is you know, with you obviously not have, you know, being very conscious about weight cutting and your walking weight and all that. During the last week or so of, you know, fight camp, is it easy for you to shed those last few pounds or is it just as hard as everybody else?
You know what? I think it's a battle in itself with everyone to a certain extent. I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see. I haven't done 145 in a little while because I was the amateur. So everything that I did, I mean, I made 145 twice. Won one, lost one, and I guess I could also say that the loss, I didn't feel 100% because of the same day weigh-ins. So it's been a while, but everything else was at 150. Right now, I would probably say that it's gonna be normal. It's not gonna be a huge cut. I mean, I've dieted, you know, I've worked out the way I needed to, and you know, it's the last week of before the fight, so the weight cut process has started.
Marcos, will you explain to maybe fans who don't understand the camo rules about weigh-ins and the difference now that you're a pro?
Okay, so CAMO, which is California's Amateur Mixed Martial Arts Organization, we have same-day weigh-ins, which sucks, but still a lot of us choose to make a weight cut. You have same-day weigh-ins. You know, you weigh in, and again, it depends on how smoothly things go. You can either weigh in the morning or in the afternoon, and show times are usually around, you know, they start about 5, 6 p.m. out here. So you have a few hours to rehydrate. So sometimes, you know, a lot of guys fight on 2-3 hours of recovery. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to be one of the last fights or the main event, then you get a little bit more extra time. But now that we're going into the pros, and it's definitely a relief. It's, you know, I'm looking forward to stepping on that scale and getting some rest, you know, full 24 hours before showtime.
How important to you is that full recovery time and your game plan?
I think it's going to be huge, man. I've felt the effects of cutting and having to perform in such a short amount of time, and some went in my favor, some didn't. Some, you know, they didn't, and I feel like I performed very, very well with just a few hours of recovery. And I mean, I'm not a cocky fighter by any means, but I can honestly say that in 7 amateur fights, I've never gotten my ass kicked. I've had, you know, I might have some losses on my record, but I've never felt weak to where I got my ass kicked. So now I feel like, you know, all right, cool. Now I'm going to be able to perform at a bit of a higher level. Like I'm going to that next level, and I'm looking to put on a show, and everyone's going to see the difference. If you thought I was good in the amateurs, wait till Sunday night.
I tell you, I'm still waiting, but I understand this is going to be streamed. I don't know yet if it's an iPay-per-view or free. I've just, you know, been told a couple of people have said it's going to be streamed. And I tell you what, if it is, you can guarantee me and Lepaki will be sitting back watching you perform, man. And I'm excited to see you go to the pros. I think you did your amateur career right. I believe your coaches and your teammates have taken you through the correct steps to have you prepared. And I think this first test is a great test for you.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I think so too. I mean, my opponent has a little bit more experience in the pros. Obviously, I don't know if he has an amateur record, but you know, he wrestled in college. He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy, but you know, he's standing in the way of me and my W. So we're gonna have to go in there and dance.
Well, we've got about
Marcos, when you look back over your career, man, which one of your fights so far has been your favorite one, and maybe why?
Ooh, there's a few, man, but probably I fought, well, this is pretty cool, and I'll share a story with you guys. The last one obviously was awesome because I finished my career with a title, with a 145 belt, but now this other victory has some pretty good a little extra icing on it, I guess. I fought a gentleman by the name of Kyle Smith. This dude, I don't think he fights him. I think that was his last fight. But anyway, tough guy, and you know, everyone that he fought, he submitted. This guy was a Paragon purple belt, so you know, he's legit. You know, arm bars everybody, triangles everybody. So I was kind of brought into his hometown of Santa Barbara to kind of lose, right? Everybody's like, all right, we're gonna bring this kid in, and you know, he's got submission losses, and he's gonna lose to this kid, whatever. I went in there. And, you know, we slugged it out. He took me down. I didn't feel, you know, threatened at any point. So I kind of, you know, went ground and pound on him. I put a beating on him, and I ended up submitting him with an anaconda choke. Now, what makes aside from you know, beating a purple belt in his hometown after having the whole crowd boo me and all that, what now kind of puts the icing on it is that this kid actually fought T.J. Dillashaw in the amateurs, and now that T.J. is, you know, the UFC bantamweight champ, it's kind of like, all right, cool, you know, we have a mutual opponent. T.J. beat him in the first round, but I put a bigger beating on him than T.J. did. Not to take anything away from Dillashaw, but I think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
See, that's
sorry, Kyle. It's kind of at his expense.
Now, you know, like, I mean, when you look back at the fight, despite the T.J. Dillashaw thing, dude, was the fact that you caught the anaconda on a purple belt, were you just like, hell yeah, bro, hell yeah?
What was cool is that, like, I think, you know, I had it in deep. I thought it was going to take a little bit more, but I'll be honest with you, I think I just, you know, he even, you know, my hat's off to him. He came up to me after the fight, you know, we had a few drinks together, and he's just like, man, no one has ever beat me up like that. Like, I think I just gave him a way out. Like, I beat him up so much that, so bad that he was just like, oh, here's my out. He's got it in. Fight it a little bit. Boom, I'm going to tap. So, yeah, that felt great, though, man. I mean, to have that kind of submission win. And I called it, too. I remember cutting weight with my boy Thor the night before, and I was like, dude, I don't know. I have a feeling, man. I'm gonna anaconda this kid. I've been hitting it in practice. So, and sure enough.
That's great.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this question, Marcos. Would you rather have, like, just a knockout where the guy just crumbles to the ground, like, in his, you know, his ass hits his heels and he's out cold, or would you rather make somebody submit to strikes?
You know what, man, at the end of the day, if I can go in the cage and walk away with my hand raised, that's the most important thing. But, I don't have a clean knockout like that, to be honest with you, man. I mean, I've fought some pretty cool kitchen sinking. They've been tough. I mean, I have a TKO down and pounding the guy and to the back, up with another punch. That one felt great, but, you know, big finish.
Hey, wait, we're losing
you,
bro.
That's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah, we just lost that last sentence.
Oh, no, I was just saying that at the end of the day, as long as I get the W, that's all that matters. But as long as the fans get a show, I'm okay with the finish, the mission. I don't like decisions, but I'll take it.
Hey, before we wrap up with you tonight, man, why don't you take some time, give some shout-outs. I know you got some great sponsors, and tell fans how they can find you and follow you, and any thanks you want to give to teams, coaches, whoever.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Skippy, and you know, just talking MMA and stuff. I always tune in even when I'm not on the show. What else? Let's see. Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I got to thank my coaches, all my training partners, anybody and everybody that helped me prepare for this fight. My family that's put up with my crankiness of not being able to have pizza and beer. And definitely my sponsors. I got a few sponsors that actually stepped up. A lot of local businesses definitely getting behind their local fighters, which is awesome. Norton Aerospace Sales. I got Madison Tattoo in North Hollywood. Fight Me Clothing, which, you know, they're pretty well known in the MMA scene out here in California. Power Performance Products sent me some supplements, so that was pretty awesome. Actually, you know what? My designer does the graphic design for us at Bukowski Creative. Find him on Instagram. It's at Bukowski. Designs my shirts and all that good stuff. So just thank them. If you guys want to find me on Twitter, it's at Murder Marks, just like it sounds, murder, and then MARX. Same thing on Instagram, Murder Marks.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, I wish you the best of luck. Hopefully by Sunday, before you guys start fighting down there at the Hollywood Park Casino for Lights Out, man, we'll have a link for everybody to watch you all over the world. So you guys stay tuned to Madhouse, Lepaki, and Skippy on Twitter and Facebook. As soon as we get a link, we'll make sure everybody can watch this young man go in there and get that first pro fight victory. So, man, thank you, brother. I know it's close to, you know, fight day. You're only a couple days out, man. You took some time out this week for us. So I want to thank you, man, and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you guys very much. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Hey, go
Marcus, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Go finish training tonight because I know you're at the gym still, and have fun.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Grimy,
you guys have
bro.
A good one.
Don't
get
grimy,
what?
Man. No, don't get grimy.
Oh,
don't
yeah. That's
grimy.
What I do every day.
Yeah. All right,
brother.
Later.
All right, fellas. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Everybody, you guys, make sure you get out there and follow him at Murder Marks. Great young man. Great mindset. It comes from a good gym. And they get dirty and grimy down there. You got to love it. And he's on a good card, folks. I mean, I'll be honest, and I know a lot of you guys out there probably don't even know, let alone care. But to me, the main event is important. I need Tony Lopez to win third round with 18 seconds left via ground and pound stoppage. And I want it to be, you know, literally 14 minutes plus of Chase getting beat from post to post to post, because Chase went out there and choked out my buddy from the Tunisian fighters, Muhammad, and he was hard on that choke too, man. I was like, oh. So I'd like to see a little sweet revenge.
Dude, you can't root for things like that to happen. That's horrible, Skippy. How dare you be like that?
Hey,
God, I cannot believe that you would be like, oh, since you beat my homeboy, I hope this guy kicks your ass.
Why not, man? Look, if somebody beat up Jeff again, don't you think we would want to go defend his honor?
That would probably depend on who it was. I figure if they're beating up Jeff, who am I to stop him?
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's Kovacs, I'm not getting involved.
I mean, you know, it's not like if somebody beat me up and then Jeff was like, oh, well, this could be easy work. You know, it would be probably dangerous for me. If they beat Jeff up, it's probably going to be kind of dangerous for me.
Yeah. Well,
you know, let's just be honest about it.
Well,
man, I might have to just let Jeff go on that one. Now, if I'm there, I'll definitely help him out. If I'm there and I'm in person and he gets jumped by a group of people, we'll both get beat up. But if he's, like, off at the fights by himself and he gets beat up, I'll have to find out who it was, and then I'll decide.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. We got about 10 minutes before we're going to get to Bristol. I'm going to play a quick commercial and some songs, and we'll be right back, folks. And speaking of Jeff, here we go.
All arms to the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the Psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Clench Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Bloody war! Bloody war!
All right, everybody. Quick break. This next guest is going to be just amazing. Everybody, we're going to be talking a little bit about Titan FC 29. They're taking place August 22nd at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hey, it's funny, dude. I got a new bartender from Fayetteville. She's pretty cool. But I believe the main card will air on the CBS Sports Network beginning at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. And you're going to be able to catch the undercard and the preliminary fights on CBSSports.com. Ah, Mr. Lopaki. This is kind of an interesting fight that Bristol's got with Micah. I don't know how many people out there are very well versed about this young man, but the guys know. You know, he's been around for about as long as Bristol, and he's had some good fights. He's fought some decent guys over the years. So, and he's fought for some cool organizations, and now he's obviously fighting for CBS's, you know, great organization, Titan. So I'm looking forward to that. Did I lose you? Maybe I did. Well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, hey, what the hell is going on here?
Dude, mic issues all night, brother. But I can hear you now.
That might happen during my interview with Bristol.
Oh no, man, dude! You know, I was just touching on, you know, some of the fights. You know, it's funny because Bristol, he beat a mutual friend of everybody's, Will Krishane, Kyle Kinney. I mean, a lot of guys in here. Justin Davis. I mean, there's a lot of people in here we know.
Yeah, dude, he fought in the Pacific Northwest. Who else was he going to beat up? Guys we don't know.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
I really like Bristol in this fight. I think he's going to have a big strength advantage in this fight. I think that, you know, I really am not sure where Micah is going to have much of an advantage. Maybe on the feet with his length, but I'm not even sure if he's got more reach than Bristol. I'm not 100% on that. And I think, you know, Bristol's fought up weight classes. Typically, Micah's a 155er, so I don't know. It's going to be an interesting fight, but I got Bristol win this one by a submission. I think the mule is tougher than Micah Miller. That's just my take.
Ah, that's an interesting point. Well, in about 2 minutes, we're going to call this young man. So everybody knows, is the Ricci fight still on?
Yeah, as far as I know, that fight's still going. Okay.
Yeah, I tell you what, I guarantee you right about now, Aaron Hendricks was wishing George would have made it to the coast in Oregon a week ago.
I'm kind of surprised that George pulled out of that fight. Well, I mean, I wonder if he pulled out of that because he had this fight.
Oh, would you risk the differences? Let's be honest. You know, an iPay-per-view with 150, 200 people, maybe more, I don't know, 500 maybe people in the crowd, you know, outdoor event at a casino, or like national TV for Titan. I mean,
I think that was a safe enough fight. He could have done both.
Well, I tell you what, I said it, man. I mean, I guarantee you Hendricks was wishing he would have showed. That paycheck wasn't worth that. Man, I know that sounds wrong to say. I'm actually going to...
Hey, last time you saw it with you.
Well, you know, sometimes I just call it like I see it, man. I mean, you know...
I'm just looking for the Tachi Palace fights this week, too.
Oh, man, there's so much this weekend, man. You know, obviously tomorrow's EFC Africa. That's just...
Yep.
I'm super pumped about that. Border Fight Fest 9, Tachi Palace, Brace. We just had him on the show. Chasm Elite 2 going down in the Bell County Expo Center. You know, there's a lot of good.
Jeremy Horn fight night.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you know, that's a classic event, man, for anybody who lives in the, you know, Utah, Montana area near Salt Lake. You know,
Utah,
that's a great
Montana?
Event.
They're not even fucking by each other, dude.
What are you talking about?
You're like, oh,
or,
this is, yeah.
Wyoming. I mean, Wyoming.
Jeremy Horn is a good.
Wyoming.
Yeah, dude. Wyoming. Just drive on down from Billings, folks. It's only about
Wyoming.
17 hours. We
Wyoming.
Expect you to have a huge show up. We need a strong showing out of our Helena contingent for Jeremy Horn's elite fight night.
Wyoming is what I meant, fool.
Yeah, it's back to Skipper for you. Back to Skipper for you.
Dude, I pulled a big time Skipper right there. Man,
I just want everybody to know, man, August 23rd, Seduction Nightclub, Full Metal Dojo 2 is coming to you.
Give
me that golden ticket.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of that, happy birthday, Jaegerbomb. Enjoy your party.
Happy birthday to my sister today, too, because it's her birthday. Not that she ever listens to my show, but. It's her birthday in case she just happens to be listening.
So, Mandy, right before we called Bristol, Mandy today was given, there's a couple of regulars, so she gave him birthday, you know, cards with $5. One of the guys, she gave him with $5 and said, why don't you play your birthday numbers? Dude hit a 5 spot. I was like, really?
Wow.
Like $670. I was like, come on. That's horrible. Well, here, let's talk some MMA. Here we go. Let's call him right now.
Man?
He should be ready. Bristol.
Quit lollygagging, bro. I'm going to tell Bristol that it's your fault we're late calling him.
This is Bristol.
Bristol.
Hey, Bristol. This is Skippy and Lopaki here, brother.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Not much, man. How you doing today?
Good, man. We're good.
Well, I want to welcome you to Madhouse Live. All the fans around the world tonight listening, obviously, you're somebody that anybody who follows MMA knows who you are. We were talking about your career right before you came on. I mean, you've had some great, great fights at some great events. You know, Titan right around the corner, Micah Miller.
Yep.
How's your camp going so far?
Well, I didn't do shit for MMA today. I worked all day and installed cabinets at one of my houses that I'm going to flip, and then I just installed a washer and dryer at one of my rentals because they're a pain in the ass, and I had to get them off my back before I started cutting too much weight. I only had one minor meltdown today because I'm cutting weight. I didn't break anything, though, so, dude, today was awesome. But for MMA, I didn't do anything, man, so I got to get to work because I got a fight coming up. So, you know, I go in the gym. I've always worked my whole fight career. I've never been a full-time fighter. And, you know, honestly, I never want to be a full-time fighter. I can't sit around and play video games and go to practice twice a day. And I work out. I love to work out, man. I love to fight. It's one of my favorite things to do. If I have free time, I go to the gym and train. And so I go in about 3-4 days a week to do MMA stuff, wrestling and striking. I'm more than ready to throw down. Micah's got something coming to him, man. I'm a big welterweight. I'm doing a good weight cut this time. I'm cutting a little bit ahead of time so I don't have a giant cut at the end. And everything's good for me, man, in life. I'm ready just to tear him up in the cage. And, you know, I've had an up-and-down career. You know, I've had some awesome fights and been to some big leagues. You know, I'm in a spot right now in life where I'm in a good spot. I want to just fight because I love to do it. I'm not doing it for money. The money sucks in MMA. And so I just want to fight to my potential and go out and smash Micah and then take it from there.
Well, is this
Skip, hold on, Skip. I actually, let me go for a second. Bristol, you touched on something I actually wanted to talk to you about. When you just said that, you know, you're not a full-time fighter, you've always had a full-time job, man. When I look at your fight career, that's something that I totally have a lot of respect for, man. And the thing that I liked that you did was you don't just have a regular job, man. And I'm curious if you used any of your fight money to start your house flipping gig, and that's kind of how that started, or was that a different way? Because I think that's so smart of you, man, to, like, you've got this, you know, great gig that, you know, makes you really good money and it's hella consistent. And like you said, the fight game, what are you going to do? Sit around all day and play video games? You have a family you got to take care of, and you have this great house flip thing that allows you to fight in your free time.
Exactly. Yeah, fighting is the luxury for me. And, you know, I would go to the gym all day, every day if I could, but I end up overtraining because I like to do it way too much. So it's actually kind of good for me to be busy doing other things, because the time I'm in the gym working, it's all productive, and I keep myself from overtraining, because I can't go every day because I'm working and it's like 110 degrees in Vegas, and sometimes I'm working outside and I'm sweating by the time I get to practice, and Robert Follis tries to push me and say, come on, man, this is all mental. And I'm like, dude, this is not mental. This is physical. I'm going to die.
Now, well, have you only done the house flipping in Vegas, or did you do any of that in Washington as well?
Yeah, I'm actually flipping houses in Washington right now as well, up in Squim. And that's where the area I grew up. So it's kind of cool to go back to my hometown and buy and sell houses there. Dude, we bought a house there, and it was trashed. I mean, like hoarders. It was disgusting. There was a dead cat that was, like, mummified, and there was, like, a mountain of cat shit in their laundry room, like, 3 feet tall. I had to clean it all out, too.
Holy cow, dude.
Dude, between the syringes and the heroin that I found in the house.
Wow.
I do some weird stuff, man. And then, so when I go to by the time I get to the gym, I'm like, thank God I'm here with all these sweaty dudes, because this is like a vacation.
Like, I don't care if you haven't showered for a week. Rolling with you is still better than cleaning a 3-foot-high pile of cat shit.
Dude, 100%.
Now, Titan, I want to just jump back there real quick. Are we going to see you maybe a couple fights with them? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Did we lose him? Hey, Bristol.
He's muffled. I think his microphone moved.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like what I was saying is with the UFC, people say that, you know, I signed a four-fight deal with the UFC. It doesn't matter if you sign a 100-fight contract. If you lose two in a row, you're most likely going to be fired. And even at, like, a smaller level, Titan, if I lose once, you know, they probably don't want me back. So MMA, I think, is a – you're always on a one-fight contract, really. Unless you put on an awesome fight, then you know, probably guarantee a next fight. But that's kind of how I see it, is the one fight deal. If I go out and win, of course they're going to want me back.
Now, that's afforded you to fight for Superior Cage, M1, Throwdown, Rumble on the Ring. I mean, you've got to fight for all these different organizations. Do you think it would be smarter if fighters went in with the mentality, I just want a one fight contract?
I think it's, I mean, it's smarter. Like, for my position, I'm going to be different than some younger fighter with a, you know, 8-0, 9-0 record. Everybody's goals is to make it to the UFC, and rightfully so. That's where you want to go if you're fighting. And, you know, but if you need to build yourself up, the best way to do it is to get local fights, stay busy, and get a winning record. You got to be undefeated, and you have to finish opponents. So wherever you do that, it really doesn't matter. If you're finishing people in exciting fashion and you're 8, 9, 10, and 0, then the UFC starts looking at you. But if you pick up losses and you're an idiot and take hard fights like I did early in my career, I think I fought Benji Raddick when I was like 2-2 with a record. That's just not smart. Like, what, the guy has, you know, way more experience me than at the time, you know? So I thought it was just take big fights whenever you can, and I just never said no. And I still never say no. I've never said no to a fight. And that, you know, that hurt me in the long run, especially early in my career, because there's fights you should say no to when you're young and you're trying to build yourself up, because your record is the most important thing. It has to be unblemished, and especially today's standards, the UFC is so stringent, and they have 400-plus fighters on contract. You have to be perfect to make it there. So should you sign a multiple-fight contract, as long as they keep you busy, but in reality, it doesn't matter. As long as you stay busy and getting wins, you know, every couple of months, then you're on the right track.
Now, for fans out there, they might not know, but you have your own MMA promotion, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to see an event maybe sometime later this year or early next?
You know, I've been planning them. I've just been so busy flipping houses, and that business has really taken off that it's just eaten up all my time. I want to promote more. I love doing it, and I love matchmaking and putting on exciting fights with, you know, the entertainment value to it. And in my opinion, I put on one of the best, most organized shows I've ever been to on the smaller circuit. And I'd love to do that more. And, you know, I think where my market is it in the casinos. I just need a good casino account, and I'll start doing it 5-6 shows a year. But right now I'm just kind of on hold, just been flipping houses, and now I have my fight in August. I'm going to beat up Mike Miller, and they're probably going to want me back pretty quick because I'm going to put on such a good show.
Now, good shows. I've been dying for years to talk to you. Madhouse is based out of the Pacific Northwest, so we have a lot of love for you. You fought back in the day for probably what I think is one of the greatest organizations ever, and that's the IFL. How much did you enjoy that style of MMA?
Right. Dude, it was awesome. The whole organization, you know, looking back, I think they were just ahead of their time. I think if the IFL had been in existence today, I think they probably would have done a lot better. And I think they made a mistake, like many have before, as they spent too much money. I think that's just it. They put out too much money, and they couldn't carry it. They didn't have the Fertitta bank account that carried the UFC through their, you know, rocky moments of $50 million in the hole. Nobody has that kind of budget. So I think the IFL is awesome. You know, as far as my team and everything, it was awesome, you know. Just the format of it was cool, giving fighters a salary and paying fighters well, and the organization of it. It was a great idea. It just was ahead of its time, and unfortunately, it just couldn't last. And I don't know how much money they spent, but it was just more than they were making, obviously.
Hey, Bruce, I just wanted to say, you know, it's not just your opinion. You know, no matter who I talk to about Rain, it's that same opinion across the board, man. You put on a fantastic show, and,
you know,
if people don't know about it, they should really pull their head out of the ground and quit being an ostrich and go check it out.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, we know that you're super busy, and you did this last minute for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap up here in a minute or two with you, but I want you to have a chance. Any shout-outs, any sponsors, anything you want to get out on the table, anything you want to say, you know, maybe a house that's listed, I don't know. Go for it.
No, all good, man. You know, I'm walking out my fight against Mike Miller at Titan. I'm not wearing sponsors, and I'm not. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm gonna wear my work clothes out because I'm gonna clock in and I'm gonna do work, and I'm fighting for me, and that's it. I want to go out there and put on the best performance I can, and I think that mentality is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, but the anxiety of fighting and the pressure of trying to do good in the UFC, and it got to me, but I'm in a good spot where I'm having a great time at the gym, and it's all a part of my theme. That's who I want to thank is Robert Follis at Extreme Couture. He's got me training good, fighting good with such a great mindset, and I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to come out, fight for me and my team at Extreme Couture, and Robert Follis will be there cornering me. So I appreciate you guys tuning in on CBS. The Titans doing big things, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Oh, no.
So is that the same mindset you had for your fight with Ian Williams as well?
Dude, totally. Robert Follis, he essentially just slapped the truth into me and said, sat me down at lunch and just told me, he's like, look, you're a blue-collar fighter. You're ugly. Get in people's faces. Use your wrestling. Let's get back to what you're good at and stop trying to be something you're not, because you have a lot of talent, but you haven't really tapped into it, and you're not really showing it in your fights. And it was hard to swallow, but I just went to work, and with that mentality that it's time to get to work, he said, you're a lot like Randy Couture. Get inside, grind them out, and just be a blue-collar fighter and beat guys that way. And that's exactly what I did with Ian. I took him down, squished him, slammed, put him on the ground and ground him out a little bit, and then submitted him in a minute and a half, and that felt good. I want to repeat that and continue to do it.
Well, thank
you
so much.
You've got to have some crazy strength. I mean, you came from a powerlifting background, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing a lot of physical, like labor, sledgehammer work, moving washers tires all around. I mean, it's just got to be crazy.
Yeah, that's just me. That's what I think one of the major keys for any fighter to really fight to their ability is to know who you are and fight that way. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't train a certain way because it works for someone else. You know, what works for GSP and John Jones and, these super athletes, probably not going to work for me. I need to adjust and fight the way I feel comfortable. And that way it's fun and I feel comfortable, And I think that's how I'm going to keep winning.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I told everybody before, I've got you with a big submission victory here against Micah Miller. And I'm really looking forward to tuning in August 22nd to Titan and watching you go to work, brother.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, have a good night.
Hey, Bristol, we really appreciate it, man. Have a great night. We
appreciate
you taking the time to come on with us.
No problem. Anytime, guys. We'll talk after I get a big win.
You got it, brother.
That sounds great, man. We'll put you on August. That'll be August 27th, buddy.
All right, man. Sounds good. Later.
All right, brother.
Okay, everybody out there, once again, Titan Fighting Championships 29 taking place at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville. The main card, if you don't live close enough to get tickets and go, it's going to be on the CBS Sports Network, and the undercard will be on CBSSports.com. That's the show, folks. I want to thank Bristol and Marcos both. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Brian over at Titan for always showing Madhouse a lot of love and giving us access to all his great fighters. You guys should be able to catch some of them. We got some more next week. I'm not sure if the boys on the other nights, if they have any or not. I'd have to look. But I want to thank all our great sponsors, great guests. You guys check us out at MMAMadhouse.com. Check Lapaki out as he's transitioning MMAtopics.net. to a new place, a new level, and a new look. Also, check out MMA Madhouse's Global Combat Network at RearNakedSmoke.net. Lots of fights this weekend. We will have SparStar streaming on for free. And if all goes well,
Top Star?
SparStar.
Dude, so I just got to ask, bro. I just got to ask. So Bristol's like, man, I found all these syringes and stuff. Were you just like, whoa?
I was like, oh, God, I feel bad for the dude. Because, like, I mean, this guy spends his whole, you know, life in two different aspects working to make money, whether it's fighting or taking care of this personal business of flipping houses. But it's safer for him to be in a fight. At least he knows these guys got blood work done. He's going into houses of squatters and junkies. Man, I do not envy him. No way.
Well, dude, I just think it's great. And, you know, when we have him on again, I want to talk more about it. But I just think it's awesome that he's like one of the few fighters that understands, dude, you're not going to make money fighting. He said it himself. He goes, you're not going to make money fighting. That's why he does these other things. He parlayed his fight money into flipping houses. Now he makes so much money flipping houses. He's like, I don't have time to fight. He's like, I'm over here making bank.
Look. But let's talk about that, because I agree with you and him 100%. But he is old school fighter, okay? He comes from the days when you could fight 6, 7, 8 times a year as a pro. He comes from when fighters were fighters, man. They were, hey, let's just fight, see who's the better, give me some cash, we'll go have a beer. Nowadays you have athletes with management who are trying to be fighters. And it's a different mindset. It's a different business. It's a different way. And he's a breed of animal that this sport needs today. This whole – I guarantee you we're going to see in the next couple of years, like Diaz, you know, and stuff, these guys sitting out on contracts, arguing about more money after they sign a deal. And that's what's wrong, man. I don't like that. I like guys like him. Hey, look, I'm going to fight when I can fight. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to come in there and whoop butt and be the best possible fighter I can be. And I'm going to invest in my life away from the sport.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's what you got to do, man. I'm just super excited to see Pele Landy Johns back on the card. What the hell's going on here? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm here. You can't hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you for a minute. It was like before. I thought I was on the line, but I wasn't. I don't know what's going on.
Dude, it's Blog Talk tonight, man. It's just trashing it up. But, yeah, I agree, and I think he can beat Saunders.
Yeah, I think he can, too. Especially because Saunders, I want to keep it on the feet. I want to display his Muay Thai against the legend Mike Pele. I just don't think that's a good idea.
Well, we already saw what happens if you connect with his chin just right. Oh, how many times have we seen that?
Wow.
I'm
on your boy, look, Jason Ellis's boys. That's an ATT guy, man. That's Ben Stark's homie.
Dude,
but hey, everybody, remember, SM Dojo 2, Full Metal Dojo 2, August 23rd, Seduction Nightclub, Thailand. Be there. John Nutt, give me my golden ticket.
Eagle!
Bitch.
Pro-Am Championship Belts, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.